Well, in 1964, the Rolling Stones released a single that became the band's first top 10 hit in the United States. This is a picture of the Rolling Stones when they first released this 59 years ago. Now, listen to this song and see if you recognize it. You'll probably be able to pick it out in the first few verses, first few notes. When Connie and I were walking through several stores last week, I heard this song several times. I was thinking, Lord, how can I get into this passage? And you're thinking to yourself, what in the world is he doing playing the Rolling Stones on Sunday morning? Time is on my side. Yes, it is. Now, let me show you the next picture of the Rolling Stones. I wonder if they have the same thoughts about time today. Is time still on their side? They popularized those words 59 years ago, and the surviving band members continue to sing that song as they do their nostalgia tours throughout the world still to this day. But it made me think, is there a better way for us to conceive of time? Is there a better way for us to think about the time that we have on this earth? Is time on our side? If we look at it from one perspective, no. Because it's about scarcity, it's about loss. But if we look at it from another side, from God's perspective of time, it's about exhilaration and joy and journey and eternity. The Bible uses two words for time. One is chronos, the other is kairos. Chronos time is measured by the ticks of a clock. Seconds build to minutes, minutes make hours, hours calculate to days, days become weeks, weeks dissolve into months, and months give way to years. And the God who exists outside of chronos or chronological time has determined that our lives would be determined by chronos time, by chronological time. That's why he said in Job 14, man born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He springs up like a flower and withers away. Like a fleeting shadow, he does not endure. Man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits that he cannot exceed. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded of the last words spoken by David Cassidy. Anybody remember David Cassidy? How about the Partridge Family? Yeah? He was a singer in Vegas all those years too, right? But when he died at age 67, his daughter said the very last words that he said were, "So much wasted time." Sobering. A life counted merely by chronos time is sad and depressing, marked by scarcity and loss. But God has another way to view time by which to measure our lives, kairos time. Kairos time refers to God-ordained times. It's translated at just the right time to refer to Jesus' coming in Galatians 4:4. It's translated in Titus 1:3, at the proper time, to refer to a promise that God made before creation and fulfilled at that point. The cross is a kairos moment. Romans 5:6 says, for while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Kairos time is God's dimension. It's not marked by past, present, or future. Chronos time is about my plans. Kairos time is about God's plans. Somebody once said, if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans. We go to great lengths to schedule our days. I know people, I know mind students, I'll just say it that way, who have their days and their moments scheduled to the second. And it's impressive, but it drives me nuts. Because I've lived long enough to know that I make my plans, and if I follow those plans, I will often miss what God has in store for me, what God wants to do in me and through me, and what he wants to do for me. The way we look at time should not be about our plans and what we want to accomplish. We should make our plans. We should have our goals. We should have those things, but we should hold them very loosely and invite God to invade our days. Invite God to point us in the direction that he wants us to have. The idea of Kairos time carries with it an idea of divine appointment. God is in control of time itself, Chronos time, all time. And he's appointed times and seasons and dates to fulfill his purposes. Each moment is pregnant with purpose above and beyond our own understanding. Kairos time gives purpose to Chronos time. Kairos time gives purpose to Chronos time. When I live on Kairos time, I experience life as an adventure. I experience it as purpose and joy, anticipating the next encounter that God brings into my day, never allowing my days to be mundane or boring. It allows me to experience life not based on the ticking of a clock. Kairos time is the most personally meaningful, even though it is outside of my control. You ever have a day that you had planned and nothing went the way you thought it would? I had a week like that last week. Connie got a call that a good friend, actually it was a text, that a good friend had just had a stroke. Well, our day changed. We immediately went to be with that friend, to pray with her, to support her, encourage her. Those, I think, are Kairos moments. I think those are the things that we look at as interruptions. Anybody ever get frustrated with an interruption like that? Come on now. Yeah, me too. People just do not take their accidents or even their deaths, you know, seriously into your consideration. Those are Kairos moments. And those are moments that God is saying, stop your plans. Take your eyes off yourself. I have someone else for you to focus on. I have something important for you to do. And realize that he's calling you into that moment to be there for someone else, to be God's hands and feet, to be his light for that person in that moment, in that situation. Paul even saw his death as God's deliverance, as a Kairos experience. The Lord will rescue me, he says in verse 18 of the chapter we'll be looking at right now in just a moment. He will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. Paul lived his life on Kairos time. He gives us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the last 14 verses, 9 to 22. Actually, that's not 14 verses. Anyway, 9 to 22, a primer on what it means to live on Kairos time. On Kairos time, there are three things that always trump everything else. Now, we have to use discernment here. One of these things, the very first one, sometimes people really are an interruption, and we can use discernment whether we answer that call or whether we do that thing, but We always need to be careful to pay attention to what God is doing and to dial into what he's calling us to. I think he's saying to us that we should live on Kairos time by making people, God's word, and God our priority. Let's see how that unfolds. Turning to Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll start in verse 9. Page 833, if you're using one of the pew Bibles. And if you don't happen to have a Bible with you, please grab one of those in front of you. Or if you don't own a Bible, we'd love for you to take that as our gift. Start off in verse 9. He says, Paul is talking to Timothy. He says, do your best to come to me soon. He will say that again to him in verse 21. It's really important to Paul that Timothy do everything he can to get there to be with him. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. The interesting thing about Paul is he was never a lone ranger. Even when he was on his way to Damascus to persecute the church, he was traveling with a group of people. He always was surrounded by people. Now he's in prison, and his thoughts are filled with important people to him. He trusts in the Lord to bring him safely to his heavenly kingdom. But until then, he understands the value of living in community, the value of investing in others, the value of others investing in him, the value of relationship with like-minded disciples. So beginning with his request for Timothy's company and ending with his prayer for Timothy's, for God to be with Timothy, Paul emphasized people and community continually. Now, Demas, for one second or two. Once a loyal companion had deserted Paul. He's mentioned three times in Paul's letters. And the first time in Philemon, verse 24, he's called a fellow laborer. On the second time in Colossians 4, his name is simply mentioned. And the third time, he's mentioned as someone who has walked away. You experience in these three times that he's listed a kind of a slow fade from Paul and from Jesus. What was it that drew his attention away? It says in verse 10, he was in love with this present world. Demas had been part of his team. He was one of Paul's guys. But when the going got tough, Demas got going. He really didn't want to be there. He would rather miss out on the pain that it would be to follow Christ and get in on the pleasure that the world has to offer. Now, let me ask you, has anyone met Demas? No, he died 2,000 years ago. How long did that value last for him? When we put our allegiance in this world and the pleasures that this world has to offer, we need to realize that doesn't last forever. It lasts for a limited amount of time. And so time is not on your side if you put your allegiance with things. They will fail. They will fade. They'll get lost. They'll get stolen. He deserted Paul for safety, for freedom, for comfort. It's no wonder Paul wanted to have Timothy come to be with him. I mean, Paul had invested in both of these guys. One of them had wandered away. The other one was going strong. He was Paul's son in the faith. And he wanted to have that guy there who was most like him, who he had most connection with. Now, as you read through this book, we'll see in a moment that Luke is also there with him. But he says, I'm all alone. I need Timothy. Reminds me of a song that in one of the high school plays my kids did. It was a Camelot. Actually, it wasn't Camelot. What's the name of that? Spamalot. It's a song from Spamalot. And the king is singing, I'm all alone. And his helper is standing right there. I'm all alone. Oh, no, you're not. I wonder if Luke kind of felt like that as he's, you know, probably writing this for Paul. What I think is happening here, what I think the point is that it's one thing to have a friend close by when you are nearing the end of your life. It's another thing to have a close family member with whom your heart has become intertwined. And Paul's saying, Timothy, come as quickly as you can because I need you. I want you to be part of my time here. The rest of his guys were on assignment, the rest of verse 10 through 12. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. So he sent them all different places. The only one who defected that we know of was Demas. When the end is near, we want close friends, but we want family as well. Timothy was his child in the faith. There was a special bond that Paul enjoyed with Timothy. This is how Paul described Timothy as he was helping the Philippian church to understand the kind of confidence Paul had in Timothy. He says this, "But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served me with me in the gospel." Living on Kairos time means that people, relationship, community are priority. Those are often the way that God will invade into your day with Kairos time. He will change your plan and interject someone into your situation. When I live on Kairos time, my life is filled with divine appointments, not annoying interruptions. When I live on Kairos time, my life is filled with divine appointments, not annoying interruptions. Being a type A obsessive compulsive person, this is a message I should have learned years ago. I can tell you that I have blown a lot of Kairos moments. When as I look back over my life, God brought someone into my life for some purpose that I did not get to recognize because I was too busy. And then I hear David Cassidy in my mind, so much wasted time. Whatever the thing was that I just had to get to pales in comparison to the investment God wanted me to make in that person's life. I think it's important for us to pay attention to that. For instance, Philip. Philip is an important person in the life of the church. He was one of the first seven to be set aside as deacons, men filled with the Holy Spirit, who had a very special initial role in the first church. Now, Philip was also the main guy in a growing revival. This revival was so powerful, it says that the people that he was preaching to hung on every word. This is what it says. This is from Acts chapter 8. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. They were hanging on every word this guy had to say. And out of nowhere, God invited Philip to live on Kairos time. Verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and went." Now let those words sink in. Words are important. This is a desert place. Philip, look at all this crowd of people. He's thinking, man, God is going to call me to do something even bigger. Takes him away from the crowd, sends him out to the desert. I mean, think about that for a minute. What do you think God might be trying to say to us at a time like that? It's not about you, Philip. It's about my plan. It's about people coming to know Jesus. That's why you're here. Don't forget that. Never forget Kairos time is way more important than Chronos time. I like how one commentator put it. He said, for an angel to send Philip to the Gaza Road seems a bit like benching a player who's batting 1,000 or ending a career at its apex. And then he says, you know, Philip, I see God is doing something. I'm doing something amazing here. But look, I want you to leave right away. I want you to go to the middle of the desert. I want you to hang out in the wilderness. Living on Kairos time, Philip led a well-placed man in the Ethiopian government to a complete knowledge of Jesus as Savior. And he sent him back to Ethiopia with that gospel message in hand. And God used him to impact a nation through one man. If I live on Kairos time, I have people as a priority. But there's another priority that I have. Verse 13. When you come, Paul says, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all the parchments. Companionship was not the only thing on Paul's mind. It was going to be cold, and so he had some practical need. Bring me that cloak. It's going to help me go through the winter. But then he says, bring me all my study materials. There are letters to be written. There are people to be encouraged. There is gospel to be shared, even from prison. Paul never took his eyes off the prize. He had a way of living on Kairos time. He would go through his life, he would make plans, and he'd say, you know, we're going to go to this place and share the gospel, we're going to that place to share the gospel. As you read throughout the book of Acts, you find that there are times that it says the Holy Spirit shut the door. That's Kairos time. We make our plans, but God directs them. And so, that's what Philip was doing. That's what Paul was doing. When you preach the gospel, there will be opposition, verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed my message. Alexander, from this passage, we see that Alexander opposed him both verbally and he opposed him in his deeds. And so Paul is saying, I want you to be careful of him. The interesting thing here is that he's not about vengeance. He's not trying to sic God on him. He's just saying, God's going to take care of him, Timothy. You be aware of him, avoid him, but don't do anything else. Don't invest your time in trying to make sure that you get back at him. Don't invest your time in trying to make sure that you quiet him down. God's got that under control. I just want you to be aware. So what he's saying here is the gospel is what's most important. And the way he gets to the gospel is through God's word. And so he's saying that we live on Kairos time and we will make people and God's words priority. In particular, the gospel. We make that a priority. When I'm living on Kairos time, there's going to be a third priority. Verse 16. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, and all deserted me, may not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and that Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Even when everyone else fails us, God never leaves us. I love these words from Psalm 46. It says that God is our refuge, our strength, our very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though mountains tremble at its swelling, we trust God. We know that God has not left us. We know that God will never forsake us. And so we live on Kairos time every moment of every day as we trust God, believing what he's got to say in his word. Every difficult time is an invitation to intimacy with Jesus. Every difficult time is an invitation to intimacy with Jesus. Sometimes we feel like those are the times that God has forsaken us. But he never does. We are never alone. Even if everyone forgets your name or chooses not to stand with you or chooses to stand against you, Jesus never does. Paul said, Jesus stood next to me. He stood next to me to make sure that I wasn't scared out of my wits, to make sure that I preached the gospel clearly so that the Gentiles would hear it. Now, we don't have recorded what Paul said before Nero, but we know that the result was he lost his head. So he probably proclaimed the gospel loud and clear. And I think we will meet in heaven some of the people that were there that day who came to know God through Jesus when he proclaimed the gospel before Nero, even though it cost him his life. Paul was not some super spiritual guy. Let me say that again. Paul was not some super spiritual guy. He's a normal guy like us. I mean, he got upset with John Mark, and he had a big, huge fight with his buddy Barnabas, and he said, he's no good. We're not taking him. Later on, we already read the verse that says, bring John Mark with you. He's profitable for me in ministry. He made a mistake. He was so rambunctious when he initially came to Christ that they lowered him out of the city in a basket and said, good riddance, farewell, goodbye. This is the Christians. And it says, and the city finally had peace. I mean, he's a regular guy. But what's different about him? Why did God use him to write 13 books of the New Testament? Why did God use him to plant churches all over the then known world? Because he had yielded himself to the Holy Spirit. He had surrendered to the Holy Spirit. He was living in Kairos time. So what I think this passage is hinting at least, is that there are Paul sitting right here. God would use every single one of us if we will simply respond to him, if we will listen, if we will let his voice be the voice we listen to over the voice of our plans. We stop living on Chronos time, the tick of the clock, and we start living on Kairos time, the voice of the Spirit. His enemies, from Nero, the emperor himself, the Jews who did everything they could to shut him up permanently, to his own team members who turned their back on him, spoke maliciously against him. His response was to turn their kangaroo courts into platforms for the gospel. Could it be that God puts us in these awkward, painful positions because he wants us to share Jesus with people? People who no one else would ever be able to reach. Live on Kairos time and make people, God's word, and God your priorities. Paul bookends this subject with, at the very end of the chapter, with again focusing on people, community, relationships. Greet Prissa and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill at Miletus. Do your best to come to me before winter. Remember, he said that in verse 9 as well. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Prudence and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Just as people were important to Paul, he was reminding Timothy, Timothy, people are important. Make sure that you make time for people. After he passed along his greetings to the friends and teammates close to Timothy, updated Timothy on the teammates that he knew of that were near Paul, even greetings from teammates with Paul, he ended with a personal message to Timothy and the church. To Timothy, he said, "The Lord be with you." Now, I know it's to Timothy because "your" is singular. He's saying, "Timothy, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that the Lord will be with you, whatever's happening. As you go through life, live on Kairos time, you follow after him." But then he says, "Grace be with you." That's a message to the church. It's plural. So even though he's in prison, anticipating his own physical death, his departure is at hand. Even though that's where he is praying for God's favor, God's grace to continue to be on the body of Christ, to continue to be on God's people. Experience life as God intended, not by counting the seconds, the minutes, the hours, the years, the decades, but by living in light of what God prioritizes. And time will truly be on your side. Watch for him as you drive to work. Watch for him as you're at work. Listen for him as your phone rings. Pay attention to what's happening around you. Remember your plans. Make plans. But let God invade those plans. See that invasion as an invitation to join God in what he's doing. When he calls, invite him to use you to be the gospel, to share the gospel, to make sure that you're living on his time and not yours. Wherever you lead me, whatever it costs me, all I want is you. Jesus, all I want is you. Wherever you lead me, whatever it costs me, all I want is you. It's easy to sing those words. Raise your hands and worship and praise. But that's where really the rubber meets the road. This really, really gets down to living it. Wherever you lead me, whatever it costs me, live on Kairos time by making people the gospel and God's word and God himself your priority. In a moment, I'm going to close us in prayer, and the band's going to come and lead us in a song to close our time out. Just a reminder, during this last song, there'll be people up in the front. If you want to talk to someone, you want to pray with someone. If you don't want to talk to anyone, you just want to pray and you just want to take some time and focus yourself on God, you can do it right where you are. Or you can come up here and just use this as your altar. No one will bother you. If you want to talk to someone, you got to come to one of us on the side, but we'll be there for you. I think this is the most important message that Paul wanted to get across throughout the entire book of 2 Timothy. His life was an example. Live on Kairos time. Follow the divine appointments that God has for you throughout the day. You won't be able to plan them. You will be amazed. I'm going to ask, if anyone is going to do this, I'll ask you to pray that God will show up in your life in some way, and that I want to let you share a testimony next Sunday. If you chose to do this and to say, "Yes, God, I will follow your plan. I'm going to try to live on Kairos time this week." And if God invites you into his kingdom work in some way, shoot me a text, shoot me an email, let me know next Sunday. I'm going to give you a chance to share how God used you. I think you'll be amazed. Let's pray. God, I'm so excited that we get to be involved in what you're doing in this world. This is not some kind of goofy idea that I came up with. This is the way you want your people to live. You decided that we would be relegated to Kronos time. We only have a certain amount of it, and then we come home. But you choose to use us to invade our day with an invitation. God, open our minds and hearts and our eyes and our ears to hear you, to see you, to watch you, to notice. Use us, God, this week. Use us, God, this week. I want to invite you right where you are to just ask him to use me this week. For Jesus' sake, amen.